Hello, hello! Welcome to How to Be a Changemaker. I am so excited to have you here. If you are an organizational leader and have a deep desire to one, motivate yourself better and to lead yourself with deeper courage, confidence, and conviction, two, empower your employees to be their best, and three, innovate and create a work culture that allows everybody to thrive, you are in the right place. My name is Samantha Clark. I am your host. I'm a happiness consultant and resident change maker here, and I cannot wait to share with you all the gems and amazing goodness in this episode. Take a seat, get ready to enjoy, and tuck in. Hello, hello. How are you doing? I hope that you're well and you are feeling good in your body, mind, and soul. I wanted to do a little two-part episode here where we can really cultivate a richer understanding of our inner well-being as changemakers and really, I guess, delving deeper into what it means to really change our attitudes and approaches to well-being, our thinking and our doing, so that we can ultimately change the world, change our businesses, change the ecosystems that we are a part of. It's a funny time of year, August, as some of us might be on vacation or just taking a brief pause in what has been another very busy, hectic, changeable year. And we approach September, which is often heralding kind of new starts. It's almost like a brand new January, going back to school, maybe going back into hybrid office settings, or maybe not, changes in furlough in the UK. And I wanted to maybe take this time to really get you to think about your inner well-being, whether you are, you know, a manager or a leader. Perhaps you might be working in the social work sector, and you know, being a change maker there means that you are definitely under a lot of stress. And, you know, according to so much research I've been doing, I am charting the course to start my PhD. I'll keep you posted on that, but I am really delving into, you know, understanding burnout, well-being, and how that kind of really helps us or can hinder us in terms of the social change and the progress that we want to make in our workplaces. And with a lot of people suffering from trauma, stress, mental health anxieties, depression, there's so much that's required of us to support, nurture, and care for others, that if we don't really take care of what we need within ourselves, we cannot give that intensive level of emotional contact and support that's needed now to usher in new ways of working, to keep productivity high, to keep engagement high within our teams and our departments. And so in this episode, I really wanted to highlight some of the needs for inner well-being, which really does help to translate into a healthier relationship with yourself, a healthier contemplation of who you are and what you need, but also how that can then shape your approach to your social environment and also your work. And with the times that we're in, it's so important for businesses to drive forward new ways and for you to drive forward new types of leadership to be a force for good. Because not only are your employees looking for this when they are identifying, you know, which companies do I want to work for? Is this a place that's going to support me and help me grow? Will I thrive there? They're questioning all these things. Your customers are also demanding that you are a force for good and that you're transparent and that you are looking after yourselves and your employees as much as you say you are. And some of the primary reasons where leadership and managers are falling down, from what I'm hearing in my discussions, is that there is a deep neglect of their own personal well-being, and that is health-related issues. Unfortunately, the amount of people that I've been coaching, and some of them have gotten in contact with me over the summer, and they've said, you know, I've taken some time to pause, and then all of a sudden I'm seeing these different health issues that I've perhaps ignored over the year, because I didn't take the time, I didn't have the space, I was just running at 100 miles per hour even. And they've also noted a lack of adequate resources, whether that's within the company or within themselves, not knowing where to look, feeling like work was never done, and perhaps that maybe self-care was self-indulgent when there were so many people relying on them to be stewards. And with this difficulty, there's a distancing from themselves and putting work first and really weaving their identity in managing and steering the ship versus steering themselves. And it's important that we do take this time to just pause and reflect, especially in this downtime before we pick up the oars and start rowing ferociously again in September and October and November, and then we'll collapse again for Christmas. I want you to really go through some of the questions I'm going to invite you to sit with and identify how you can start to be kinder to yourself, where there might need to be a rejection of perhaps the hero model at work. And could you also take the time to maybe recarve out what success means to you and how you will uphold that as you go back into the office, as you go back and support your teams, or maybe you're just a team of, you know, there's a very small team, but fundamentally, what will your culture need to look like to carry you through to the end of this year? And how can these individual changes in yourself be roadmaps and observational shifts that can spread across your department or the organization as a whole? And so when we question some of the ways that we've been working, the ways we've been showing up for ourselves, I want you to invite a practice of journaling or voice noting, whichever one feels good for you. I know that for myself, I do love a good voice note. I am getting better at journaling. And I think obviously if I do want to excel in my PhD, I need to definitely fall in love with writing again. But I want you to sit with a couple of questions that I'm going to be asking you today and write them out. Maybe as part of your morning routine, you take just a moment to pause and question, you know, what's going on, what's happening for you. And to just see what comes up, you know, something might arise, or you might feel actually, I just need to let this simmer for a bit. I think that's why I love voice noting, because I can kind of just blurt everything into a little voice note on my iPhone and come back to it later and just, it might reveal some gems, it might not. Sometimes it might spur me to think about something else. And so I just want you to get conscious with yourself about this process and take it in your stride. But I do want you to reflect on some of these questions so that you can, you know, really let go of what no longer serves you, what you need to step into to be a better change maker for yourself and others, and allow yourself the opportunity to explore and to learn more about what you need and what you might want to start cultivating for yourself. So we have about four questions in this session, and in the next episode, I will give you four more. So my first question for you was, when was the last time you lost your voice in a work or a personal situation? How did it feel knowing that perhaps you weren't able to stand up for yourself or ask for what you wanted or share your gifts? Now, what do I mean by losing your voice in a work situation? When was the last time that you felt perhaps you didn't have that sense of agency to really say how you felt or to question something that didn't feel right, and maybe you sat on it? Sometimes when we sit on emotions or desires or expressions that we feel we need to voice, but we don't, it can then eat away at our confidence, eat away at our ability to show up holistically and authentically, and imposter syndrome can start to creep up on us. And this does weaken you in so many instances where you start to second guess yourself, you start to retreat and downplay your abilities. And so finding your voice is also part of self-care. It is that part of knowing what you need, knowing how to ask for it, knowing how to voice it in different situations, and articulating it with an emphasis where you're not belittling anyone else, so you're not being disruptive. You are just stating what you need. And if you can't do that for yourself, there's no way you can encourage or empower other people to do that. So that's your first kind of journaling question. When was the last time you lost your voice in a work or a personal situation? How did it make you feel to not be able to stand up for yourself or to ask for what you wanted or to share your gifts? The next question that I really want you to simmer on is, if you were living to your fullest capacity in your life and your work, what would that look like right now? Who do you want to be? Do you think that you are doing that currently in the way that you're working, in the way that you might be leading people, or the way that you're just leading yourself if you work for yourself? Are you living to your fullest capacity? You know, when I lost a friend recently with cancer, and we had been speaking, you know, on and off until she could, you know, no longer speak on the phone. It was just too much energy and quite painful. And she said to me, you know, one thing I've always admired about you is that you just gave your all to everything, every step of your career, the things that you tried, you're always just going full on. And, you know, even sometimes you pushed yourself to the max, but I always felt like you wanted to squeeze the best out of your life. And it, you know, obviously it still makes me quite tearful now, but it's just that feeling for me I've always had of, like, if I don't give this my best shot, if I woke up tomorrow, I don't want to have any regrets. I don't want to be in a place where I felt like I just coasted. And maybe that is also, I've always had a very interesting relationship with death anyway, having met it, being very close to it a couple of times in my life. I do have that driving force. And I've mentioned this perhaps in the last chapter of my book as well. I talk about that memento mori, like, what happens if tomorrow was your last day? Would you be happy with the way that you have lived your life? Would you be happy the way that you've been working? Do you think that actually you want more of something? You want to stretch yourself in a new way, but you're not allowing yourself to take that step. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean that I'm completely fearless. There are some big decisions I still haven't made as yet. And I know that I am dying to definitely take a leap in a particular direction, and I still haven't. But it doesn't mean that I'm still not exercising the max of what I want my work and the way that I lead my personal relationships and my life to be. And I'm sure I will make that tipping point at some point to move abroad and resettle somewhere. I'm close, but I think just that essence of just, am I living to my fullest capacity in my life and work? It's a question I do ask myself religiously and question, you know, who do I want to become? And am I taking that step towards it, or am I retreating from it? And especially if you are helping to create great change in the world, if you're working on a project or an innovation that really requires deep future focused thinking, like, how do you allow yourself to get to that rich place where you can give that? How do you empower other people to find new solutions to existing problems? And you can only do that when you're operating at your max as well. So that is the second question to you. If you were living at your fullest capacity in your life and your work, what would that look like right now? And who do you want to be? My third question to you is, what skills or strengths have others in your life and work identified that you yourself haven't fully owned, appreciated, or celebrated? And I think this is a powerful one. I recently invited a few people that I'm very close to in my life, and I got them to do the kind of ask a friend survey that I have in the book and just help them to just, not that I don't know my skills or my strengths, but as I kind of pitch ideas in terms of my research project for my PhD, I really wanted to make sure that I was not having tunnel vision and that I was able to kind of see the strengths and the skills that I think would help me and have longevity in the program, and also to help me maybe just, you know, pick the right program in the first place. It was important for me just to to think about how people see me. And not that I need it for some sort of, I don't know, internal celebration or justification. It's just an interesting mirror image to see, you know, the things that you think you're projecting or the way that you are talking about yourself, the things that you deem to be successful for you. Is that a real strength? Is that what people come to you for? Is that what you're known for? And I was obviously pleasantly surprised with a lot of the confirmations, and there were a few that were new to me as well, which I definitely feel like it could be something that I could challenge myself to learn more about over the course of August. I'm treating August as a little bit of my educational and experimental month. As I mentioned in my newsletter, I'll be trialing and testing lots of things, reading, just playing really, to one, enhance some of these skills and strengths, but also to pick up some new ones. So as a third question for you to marinate on, what skills or strengths have others in your life and your work identified in you that you haven't fully owned, celebrated, or appreciated within yourself? And the last question, and this is quite a punchy one, so I hope that you have the space and the breath to think about this. Where are you settling for good enough in your life right now? What would be possible if you were no longer willing to settle? So again, this idea of settling, just being comfortable, just taking what is, or even just accepting the bare status quo or the bare minimum when it comes to looking after yourself, nourishing your body, nourishing your mind, working out, moving your body daily. Where are you just accepting good enough? Why does that feel like actually I'm not making the space, I'm not cultivating the time to feed into this because, you know, that's all I've got. That's all I've got to give right now. I think it's really important to question where you're only playing small, why you're choosing to play small, and how this has affected, you know, the teams that you operate or function in, and, you know, the businesses that you're trying to drive or the people that you're trying to take care of, and the situations where you are, you know, nurturing lots of different stakeholder needs. Where are you just settling for good enough? And it reminds me of one of the kind of great blind spots that Loretta Melandre talks about, when we just choose to settle for good enough, it doesn't empower others around us to seek excellence either. It just leads people to be in a kind of state of meh. Well, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. And therefore, nobody chooses to excel. Nobody chooses to push the boundaries to do different, to be different, and to really change thinking, right? Because that's what we're about. If we can change the well-being, if we can change the way we do things, if we can change the way we think, we can change the world. That is my motto, and that is definitely the drive that I'm on. So that is your last question. Where are you settling for good enough in your life right now? And what would be possible if you were no longer willing to just accept the bare minimum, the status quo, just to settle? So those are your four questions. I will be back again with another four, but I hope that you do take this time to really question, you know, what's coming up for me? What questions has this sparked? How could I use some of this energy to reinvigorate myself in this downtime, to try and cultivate some new habits? What could I do to look inwards to be able to breathe outwards new ways of being with teams when I go back to work? And, you know, what could you use this to ignite new feelings or thoughts around personal relationships, the communities that you're a part of, the things that you're engaged with? I hope you enjoy this session, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this. Take care, and I'll see you soon. Hello, hello. Wow, what another fantastic episode. Thank you so much for carving out the time to hang out with us and hear everything that was shared today on our podcast. If you are interested in becoming a change maker and something has piqued your interest and you want to either revamp your own ways of looking at your well-being as you lead a team through change, or maybe you want to create deeper interventions in your company that are going to stick and that people care about actually using, why not join our Change Maker certification? This is our roadmap to helping you go through our three areas of change: becoming a better change maker, empowering and inspiring others to do the same, and amplifying the message that you have created. Check out all the details of our Change Maker certification on loveitleaveit.co, and I cannot wait to get started with you. See you soon for another amazing episode. Bye for now.